Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. And today, Kyle, there's so much talk about Caitlin Clark. And she is constantly in the news, and we're going to build on something within Caitlin Clark. But I'm going to be honest, it's not what you just keep seeing ad nauseum in the news and on the airwaves. That's not for today's episode. We're not going to be debating one way or another on Caitlin Clark. But we are going to build off a quote that she said recently that we thought was just really dynamic. And it really speaks to her leadership, but in turn, I think it can create a conviction within us to really evaluate how we show up each day and our intentionality within our own leadership. You know, she was asked the other day about her level of fatigue that she's experiencing coming off the NCAA season, basically going right into the WNBA draft, then right into training camp, and now boom, right into the season. And there is a lot on her plate and a lot on her shoulders, as well as the other individuals that have gone through that similar kind of scheduling. It's a lot. And the reporter simply asked, do you feel like you're going to take a day off? You're going to rest a couple games upcoming? Makes sense. Completely valid of a question. And Caitlin Clark said, I don't see that happening. Quote, I feel a responsibility to be at my best every game. People pay a lot of money to come to games. Kids have circled these dates on their calendars for a long time, and I want to show up special for them. It has opened up some conversations within our team, just as we've talked on this. We've actually added it to one of our presentations that we do during live training. But Kyle, you know, I want to show up special for them. Who gets our special? If we're honest with ourselves, are we consistent with who gets our special? Could we say that certain people get our special and others don't? You know, do we at times show up more special for our students, for our players than we do at home? Do we show up more special for our friends and our social circles than we do maybe with our team members and counterparts at work? Do we show up more special for people we lead versus people we just maybe associate with on the day to day? How consistent are we with our special? And do we feel that responsibility? I'm talking deep down conviction. Do we feel a responsibility to show up special each and every day for each and every person that we interact with? Do some people get our special and do others get our leftovers? Are we intentional to show up special with some people and then just whatever happens, happens with the others? I think it's something we have to wrestle with, especially when you think about how important consistency is in our credibility and how important consistency is in our character, that people actually know this is who that person is. This is how they show up. this is truly and genuinely and authentically who they are. Why do we know that? How can we say that? Because that is who they are every time with everyone. Are we that type of person? And it really, I think, is a challenging conviction call out that we need to wrestle with, Kyle.
Yeah, I think the key word you said there, Adam, is the consistency. And as you just mentioned, it leads to credibility and it leads to trust. So when I hear that quote coming from her, first of all, I love it because it's talking about the people who are watching her and her being aware that, you know, there's young fans involved. There's people that are paying money to come see her. But like you said, it points to the conviction of who she is as a person and as an athlete, which then probably is the reason why she's gotten to the level that she's at, is because she has that commitment to excellence. And it's not something that, you know, you can turn on and off, but she strikes me as that person who has that mentality of like, this is who I am and this is what I do. And that's the standard of how she's going to operate. And it's not something that's easy. I think there's, we'll unpack this a little bit more. There's quite a bit of adversity to overcome to get to that point. There's a lot of tug against for someone to get to that point, but for her to be aware, confident, and then being, you know, just conscious of that in the daily activities and how she presents herself and the way she wants to show up for people. I think that speaks a lot to her character, which we know then goes a long way in how you perform in sports. So the consistency is absolutely the first priority there.
You know, it's interesting during some recent professional trainings that I've been hosting, this kind of got fueled even more. And this quote came such at an interesting time in light of these two comments. So one, I was working with a physical therapy group where one of the PTs during our lead them up training, so I'm working with their leadership staff and their staff as a whole, one of them kind of made an acknowledgement and admitted as they were kind of going through this particular exercise, she said, you know, I feel like we do this really, really well with our clients, with our patients. I don't think we are as intentional to do it with each other. And it made sense. And you could kind of see the others in the room kind of like acknowledging it and nodding along with it. That's like, you know, she's right. We are really good with our paying clients, with our patients that come in for our service. And then it's just like about each other. It's just almost like an afterthought. Whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. Literally a week later, I'm working with an organization that works with children. They do kids camps, before and after care. And same deal. We're going through an exercise and one of the individuals, one of the camp instructors acknowledged in front of the group, the staff said, hey, you know, we do this every day with our kids. We are so good. In fact, she's like, I think we're the best around because they are fantastic. I think we're the best around. But I acknowledge I am not that intentional with one another. And I want to own that. And she owned it. And it was a fantastic kind of moment because you could see people like, you know, they didn't raise their hand also and say, hey, I own it as well. But you could feel that they were kind of like, yeah, I'm guilty of that too. I'm guilty of that too. And it just fueled into this quote here, the term that I've been saying, like who gets our special? And think about that, right? Like, so those individuals, they're not making intentional decisions and say, okay, my kids are special. My coworkers aren't. They're not doing that. Okay. It's not that binary.
No.
In the PT, they're not saying, hey, my clients are special and my team member that I work alongside is not. They're not saying that at all. There is just this level of dialing up that takes place in some circumstances where we feel this desire and need and standard to be more special in this setting, right? To show up in a certain way in this setting. But what you're doing when you do that is you are now acknowledging indirectly, because you're not verbally saying it, that you are okay and it is okay for the others to get less. And nobody would actually say those words.
No.
Like, you would never verbalize those. You would never say, okay, hey, so tomorrow, remember, we're going to give all of your fellow team members less. We're going to give them less of your greatness. We're going to give them less. Okay. Hey, don't, hey, no. Stop being too special with your team members. Stop it. We're giving them less today. Like, that sounds so funky. It sounds so awkward. We would never do that. So it's not an intentional decision to give less. It is an intentional decision to give more, but that in turn inevitably produces less for others. And if you have it in you to give more to some, why can't we give more to all?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Why can't we?
I think there's for a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, first of all, I think that, you know, that really resonates with teachers and coaches, which I know we have a lot of our audience in that category of teachers and coaches. But I would always remember talking with some of the peers and, you know, having those conversations of like, we feel bad or guilty because there are times when you're so patient with students and you're so maybe encouraging or uplifting with the athletes you coach and you're giving them your absolute best. And then when you get home, you realize you're falling a little bit short or you're not giving that same level of attention or special that we're given in certain categories. So I think we all feel that and that can certainly pop up. So I think it's really just the fact of being aware of it and conscious of it that first time is that's what helps being able to show up then at that level is first of all, recognizing that that does happen and that there's a difference between the two.
So we've talked about this. Self-awareness leads to self-management, right? First step is the self-awareness. You have to have incredible awareness that there is a difference, that there is a gap that's being displayed, right? You have to own that there is a different level of enthusiasm and passion and energy and thoughtfulness being delivered in some instances and not for others.
Yep.
If you deny it, you'll never feel like there's ever a problem. If you excuse it, then it'll never be your issue. It'll always be your excuses issues, right? Right. So you 100%. Have to own it. Okay. You have to own it. And once you own it, then you become positioned to now better manage it. And you're totally right. So first step is self-awareness, but then you got to get to that place where you've got to actually want to change it and want to start delivering it. So you're going to have to raise the standards on your own performance. Coach K said, can we all just get to a place where we're raising the standards of our own living? Can everyone just live at a higher standard? Because we've dipped it at times so low. So for me, when I look at that, why can't everybody get your more? Well, some people would say physically, I just don't have it in me to give everyone more. Right. Like, because it is exhausting to be on. It's exhausting to be on. I mean, we do this for a living where we go and we present and I'm doing a 3-hour training camp and I'm on. Right. Or I'll go teach a, 6-hour campus day and I'll go and do a 3-hour training camp after that. Right. That's 9 hours of being front and center, engaged, high energy, fully alert, interactive, all those different things. It is tiring. Don't get me wrong. It is tiring. But if you commit to giving more to all, to delivering that special more consistently and frequently across the board to your interactions, if that is a passion, you're going to begin to make life decisions that'll help fuel that.
Yeah.
I personally, so I do this little thing, right, where it's a little thing that actually I do in a portion of one of the classes I teach at Towson. I'll have professionals write down out of 30 days, average month, right? How many days do they feel like they show up at their best? So Kyle, like, for example, I want you to think about the days where you feel fantastic. Like, oh man, you just feel great. You know, you just got that little pep in your step. You got that little energy. You've got that clarity of mind. You know, you got that exuberance, that enthusiasm. Everyone has those days where they just feel fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, frankly, it's externally generated, right? Maybe I got a great night's sleep and it's sunny outside and the birds are chirping and I've got something exciting on the schedule. So therefore, that has helped get me there. Whatever the case may be, I ask them those days out of 30 on an average month, how many days out of the 30 would you feel that way? How many days out of the 30 do you feel that way? As opposed to the days maybe a little tired, distracted, cloudy, achy, all that stuff, right? Can I tell you what the average answer is?
What the average answer is, what my guess is, or what? Yeah, I would say for most people, if we're being honest with ourselves, that it's probably 30 to 40% tops.
It is. I've done this literally dozens of times. The average answer is 11.
11 days out of that?
11 days out of 30. So essentially, okay. You're right. Right. Yeah. You're basically looking at a third. Right. And here's the thing. One of the things we speak about is like, how can you ask others to be at their best if you only show up at your best third of the time?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, let's just be honest. And, but also that explains why it's so hard for some people to give their special to everybody, because they can't even show up special 2/3 of the time.
Yeah. Great segue for the point I want to make here. Why can't they show up special? Why don't they want to show up special? Right. You get it. Always have to like ask the question why, so you can peel back the layers and really get at the heart of it. So it's funny because we were talking about, you know, the podcast here, but yesterday, you know, was kind of a lazy Sunday around the house. I wanted to find something to read. Didn't want to drive to the bookstore, and Amazon's not going to deliver a book to me in 20, 30 minutes. So I just went back to my bookshelf and pulled out an old classic, and I pulled out The Alchemist. And if anyone's not read that, highly recommend it. Great read, easy to read. But this really jumped out at me yesterday. I took a screenshot of it. And in this, the young boy who's going on this journey encounters an older man, and he asks a question, you know, what's the world's greatest lie? And the old man tells him, the world's greatest lie is this. It's that at a certain point in our lives, we lose control of what's happening to us, and our lives become controlled by fate. That's the world's greatest lie. So when you ask the question of like, why are we only showing up 11 out of 30 days? A lot of it, it's because we approach things like we don't have control over the outcome. What we do doesn't matter. And one of the gifts of basketball team gave me several years ago was this like little sign that said, if we only show up on the days that we feel good, we'd never get anything accomplished. And that kind of speaks to what we're talking about here, is like, we have to realize that we do have an internal focus of control, that we're not powerless to affect others. We're not powerless to affect our situation, the outcome of that situation. And that we have to realize and take ownership of the fact that we do have agency and control over our lives, that by choosing to show up, even when we don't feel great, because we're all not going to feel like $1 million when we wake up, we're getting old, my back hurts, my knee hurts, whatever. Like, those are things that you have to have that conviction that what you do matters, because how you show up for other people matters, you know? And I think that's what Caitlin's getting at, is realizing that she plays a role in the success of others and how she shows up. And having that type of conviction allows you to push past those other 19 days where you don't feel that great, or where you only feel average, of realizing that what I do actually matters, and it will help me one way or the other for where I want to go and what I want to do. That you have a say in that.
And she wants to give her special to everybody. Right. That's what that also shows. And that point in the quote is like, we do have more control over this than you think. And I just believe when you are committed to showing up special, you will change your life. You will change your life to make it happen. Right.
Yeah. When you show up and you do good things and you give your best to upwards others, it's not like that's not going to be reciprocated in some fashion. You know, it might not be exactly what you want in that moment, but like, when you show up at a high level, people take notice of you. They remember that. And there's the natural law of reciprocity, where people want to, you know, generate that for you. If you've done that for them, they remember that.
Hey guys, this is Kayla with Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Over the years, I feel like the most respected leaders and the most respected team members at Chick-fil-A are the ones that hold themselves accountable to the very highest level of expectations. In fact, you might say that they don't even need leadership because they monitor their own decisions and they check in on their own work. They don't leave anything on the table. In fact, if they can do it better, they're going to take it every single time. It's this internal drive to do nothing less than their very best, even when nobody's watching. They know that this is what takes it to the next level. So the question is, are you fueled by an internal accountability for excellence in every decision that you make? Do you put in the same amount of effort when nobody's watching you? That's what great respected leaders do. Now let's jump back to the episode.
Not only is it a responsibility, I think it's unacceptable not to. And that may sound like a big, bold statement. Like, what do you mean it's unacceptable? When you say it's unacceptable to not give your special to each other, to not, I really do. I mean, think about it like this. And the reason I say it is because everyone listening to this, they would say the same thing if it got flipped. I'll give an example of my trip to California recently. Went out there. Working with Ernest Righetti High School. Shout out to Coach Pickett and the team out there. Fantastic, okay? I went, I didn't have to be at the school until 4, so I spent the day at the beach. This is on the coast there. And I worked at a coffee shop. Sitting there asking the barista, I said, hey, tell me, man, give me the best place to eat. The beach was Pismo Beach, I think, or something like that. So what's the best place to eat around here? He said, man, you got to go up around the way to get a meatball sub. You got to go. I was like, is it walkable? He's like, yeah, it's walkable. I mean, it's a little bit of a walk. I won't lie. But yeah, it's walkable. I'm like, looking at my phone. I was like, oh, dang, that is a walk. But hey, you know what? I'm going to do it. Man, it's nice outside. I'm just going to go, right? So all of a sudden, I go and I kind of make this walk there. You know, man, I get a meatball sub. I'm not going to lie. They 100% deliver the goods. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. But the reality is, it would have been unacceptable if they chose to, quote unquote, take a day off from their special.
Yeah.
If on that particular Tuesday they said, I don't feel it. Should we follow the normal recipe? Just do whatever you feel like doing. It's Tuesday. Who cares? Right. And they just kind of gave less. And they just delivered less, and their experience was less. Now, all of a sudden, you got this individual at the coffee shop whose reputation now gets damaged because he's out there going on a limb, telling everybody to go visit you. You've got people you don't know from Adam, pun intended, walking all across town, right? Making sacrifices in their day, doing all these different things to experience what they've heard about, right? And, and if you just chose that day to not really care, like, frankly, you're inconveniencing people. You're giving them less than maybe kind of what they deserve. It's frankly unacceptable. And in the same way, Coach Pickett, he's never experienced, you know, this was a year one out there in Ernest Righetti. I feel a responsibility. He's using Lead Him Up because he said, man, you will love Adam. You will love Lead Him Up. Man, you're going to love what he delivers. You know what I have a responsibility to do then? To show up special and deliver.
Absolutely.
Because he's counting on it. See, people are counting on our special. And I think when you get to this place where you say, you know what, I'm committed to showing up special for everyone, you will change your lifestyle. You will make decisions that will change how you approach it. I'm going to give some examples, some things that I do that have helped me show up this way. And I take a lot of pride. And I'm sure there's moments where I get it wrong, but I think for all intents and purposes, you know, you could ask people that interact with me and engage with me that I hope that they will say, oh yeah, I mean, that's who Adam is. That's what you're going to get. And that I'm able to deliver consistently at a high level. But it doesn't just happen because I'm probably guilty of showing up 11 out of 30 days special if I just let it go to fate, to your point. If I just let it go and just willy-nilly hope I show up that way. No, but you had to make intentional decisions. So here's some, right? So I'm very big on rest, right? I'm just going to give you some insight into my own personal. very big into rest. I enjoy sleeping. I made a decision a few years back that my girl's bedtime is my bedtime. I'm not going to fight it any longer. I used to for many years. I'd try to stay up and kind of keep working past those times. When it's time for to put the girls down to bed, I'm shutting it down. I'm turning my brain off. I'm going to put them to bed. I'm going to get ready for bed myself. Right. Their time is my time. Right. From a bedtime standpoint, do I miss out on an hour of maybe watching something? Do I miss out on 90 minutes of some shows? Do I miss out on the second half of my sporting events? Absolutely. Being here on the East Coast, life is tough. And these are decisions you got to make. Frankly, I'll actually give you the secret of what I do with the East Coast sports times. I will actually watch, did it just yesterday with the finals. I'll watch the first half. I'll then put the girls to bed, right, when it's still early. And then I will track the score for the second half on my phone while I'm laying there. And if it looks like it's getting close, I may then go to my YouTube TV app on my phone and watch the rest. But I'll just track.
That's what I do.
I'll just track to see. But anyways, their bedtime is my bedtime. And I could fight through that and stay up longer. But I'm going to tell you, if I do, I won't show up special for the people the next day, as special as I could. Right. But I'm committed to it. So I do that. Here's another thing. You know, I made a decision a few years back, you know, that I've got a 3-drink max in my life. I don't drink more than 3 drinks. Right, we're out and about, we're spending the day at a beach, we're enjoying a cocktail of sorts, totally good, right? Enjoy it. I'm all for it. Go for it. For me, 3 drinks, right? It will then prohibit my ability to show up special for the next day and for other people. I'm committed to it, right? And I don't want that sluggish. I don't want that cloudiness, that fogginess. 3-drink max is my thing, right? Here's another one. I schedule naps. I schedule naps. I can tell you in my next 3 months, Kyle, when I will be napping. That may sound crazy, but I can tell you, all right? I can look at my schedule in August as we are building out our busy schedule, right, of campus days. I have pockets in there where I can already tell that I will be flying in late, having to wake up early to do a campus day. I then will have a training later in the evening. I'm going to schedule in a 2.5-hour nap right there, right? I will have that planned out. My mother-in-law and father-in-law thought it was hilarious when I told them about a month and a half out when I was going to be staying in their place for a couple of days in St. Louis, that when I came in that they asked, you know, what are you going to be doing here? Who are you going to be working with, you know? I said, oh, I've got something with this high school. I've got something with Walsh U. Friday afternoon around 1 o'clock, I'll be taking a nap. And this was like a month and a half out. They're like, what are you talking about? And I just said, I just know where I'll be. I know what my week will look like. I know where I'll be, how I'll be feeling. And I'm committed to showing up special for everybody I interact with. All right, here's another one. Ready? Kyle, you ever have those days where, you know, just looking at the day, it's going to be a grind of a day.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we all do.
We all do, right? People are like, oh, Thursday's going to suck. Oh, gosh. Oh, what a long day. What a long day. You know what I do on all those days? I order crabs. Maybe not crabs, but seafood or one of my favorite dishes. All right. You see?
Yeah.
So on a day when I know it's not going to be any fun, I say, okay, today's probably not going to be the most fun day. Remember our Detroit style pizza, our winning one that we had at our
leader's good
here, right? I'll say, man, oh my gosh, man, Thursday is a long day. Oh boy. You know what? I'm getting white rabbit pizza for dinner. Let's go. Can't wait. Now, all of a sudden, I've created this excitement. I've created this joy that I can't wait for throughout that day. That now has given me this boost, this energy. I said crabs because more often than not, it's crab legs because it's my favorite meal and I only eat them on like special occasions. So on tough, annoying days, I'll order crabs and I can't wait all day. It gives me this energy, this boost to just go through my day special because, dude, I'm eating crabs later. Let's go. Can't wait.
Yeah, something to look forward to.
So on tough days, I treat myself to my finest meals.
I like it.
Last one I'll do. inspired by Sam Allen, Kyle, our friend from PGC basketball.
Yeah.
If you ever meet Sam Allen, this is how he greets you. He says, "Oh, it's a great day to be a Bradley. It's a great day to be a Bradley." That's what he says to everyone he meets, not obviously, you know, insert their last name. And I've stolen this from Sam. I'm not going to lie. I've 100% stolen it. He would always go to people and he'll say, "Hey, how you doing? We'll be at a Starbucks, whatever. Hey, how you doing?" And Sam always does the same thing every time. And I have adopted it now 3 years straight. And it's like, I love it. "Hey, how you doing?" Sam will go, he'll look at him and say, "You want to know the truth?" Which always creates this like reservation from the other person. Like, "Oh boy, what did I just get into? Who is this guy? Is this guy about to open up and tell me things I really don't care about? Like, what the heck?" So there's always this hesitation, silence for a moment where the other individual will then hesitantly be like, yeah, tell me the truth. Yeah, what's up?" And then Sam goes, "I'm doing amazing. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that." Which then kind of creates this little bit of a sigh of relief, which creates a smile on the other person's face and this little kind of somewhat kind of warm interaction in those moments. And I've adopted this. It's been about 3 years. I've replaced it with the word fantastic, right? It'll be 5:50, 5:30 in the airport, TSA. I go to give my ID. "How you doing, sir?" They'll ask me, "Man, you want to know the truth?" TSA agent's looking at me like,
"I don't got time for this, buddy.
Got time for this, girl. It's 5:30 in the morning. Keep it moving." I was just simply asking because it's etiquette. I'll say, "No, you want to know the truth?" And I even played up like, "You want to know the truth?" They'll be like, yeah, go for it. "Bro, I'm feeling fantastic, man. Thank you for asking. Yo, I appreciate that." "Man, I thought you were about to give me some." Nah, I'm feeling good, man. Like, "Oh, that's good." I'm like, "How you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10? That's my response. "How you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10? "Oh, man. 6? Oh, bro, we got to get that number right. Let's go." That interaction that you just heard from me, I probably have had it. Whole thing, number, you know, "How you feeling on a number scale?" 1,000 times in the last year or two. Why do I say that? Because it is part of what I do to get me to a place where I feel fantastic. Because at 5:30 in the morning, I don't feel fantastic. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. But kind of created this habit behavior to help start fueling me in that direction, because you can't say, "Oh, I'm doing fantastic," right? With this uptone delivery, without it impacting and getting you to a place where you actually feel that way. Why do I do it? Because I'm committed to showing up special. And I wanted to train myself in all my interactions to show up with a different level of energy that helps get me to that place. I'm going to tell you, coaches, if you're listening to this, when you are committed to showing up and living special, you will change the things within your life that prevent you from showing up that way. And you will start finding the ways and little strategies and techniques and tools to allow you to get that place. Rule one of the green team, Kyle, is in order to build green, you must first be green. Rule two speaks about the fact that there are floaters and you've got to be at a 90 percentile or higher. The reality is, if you want to be green, you've got to do some things to help you show up special, not just for some, but begin challenging yourself. Can I show up special for all? And can I do the necessary things in my life from a lifestyle standpoint, from a mental perspective standpoint, to try to be at my best for all that I interact with? And guess what? Frankly, they deserve it. Because if you don't, what you're saying is some don't deserve it. And that's not right.
Yeah, if you have that gift inside, give it away, right? A candle loses no light by lighting another. And
oh, lost you there, Kyle. All right. Well, I don't know what just happened there. Our audio kind of went out, so I don't know exactly where it got cut off. We were about to wrap up anyways, and just a challenge for you as a coach. What percentage of people that you interact with get your special? Let's just start there. wrestle with that number, whatever that happens to be, and really evaluate. And if it's not a number that is as high as you like, begin challenging yourself. And if that means you've got to make some lifestyle changes, if you've got to try to be more intentional and really put some things in place, so be it, right? That is work that is worth doing. But I think we all have a responsibility and an opportunity to kind of give each person our special, and it does require you to kind of live a certain way. So, hey, on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam alongside Kyle. Until next time, coaches, have fun and lead 'em up.